Good morning. How's everybody doing? God bless you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Let me give you an update on our move to Gainesville. If you didn't know, we are moving back to Gainesville after being down here for a number of years. And we have a building on 13th Street and Williston Road that we've been working on. And the progress, we're making progress. I would say when we started, there was probably 100 things that we needed to do, and we're down to about 10. So we made a lot of progress, but all those 10 need to be done. And they're kind of like, most of them are like dominoes. You can't do this one till that one. I can't do that one till this one. And some of them are, you know, skilled labor. We have to depend on some other people. So, yes, it's been frustrating for me that things didn't go faster. But it's a test. We're going to pass it, and we're going to get there. Things are getting done. They had a good week this week. Had a great work day yesterday. They got a lot done. We're going to start having work days around your schedule, because a lot of people are saying, well, I can't come on Saturdays anymore because it's spring and we got games, we got this, we got different events, a lot of events going on on Saturday this time of the year. So we're planning on having weekday work days, and we're going to have some evening, like maybe a Tuesday and Thursday night we'll start doing, because hopefully after this week it'll pretty much be dependent on us. Right now they're almost done with the drywall. They've got a couple pieces they have to do, and the thing about the drywall is then they mud it and they tape it and then they sand it, and when they sand, it's this fine white dust goes everywhere. So we don't want to start painting until they're done, completely done with the sanding. Then we need to wipe all the walls down. That's real quick, just wipe that. Then we can paint. And we still have to plaster, and then after we paint, then we can do the floors. We have to scrape, they get a lot of plaster on the floors after that. And by the way, David Bungart, Dustin's dad, I don't know if you know this, but when we moved in this building like 12 years ago, he laid all the tile. He's a tile man. All that lobby, Dustin's dad, David, laid all that tile in the lobby. Isn't it beautiful? And back here, wherever there's tile is. Well, he lives in Cookeville, Tennessee, and he said, I want to be a part of your new building. I want to lay the tile and do the laminate. And so he's coming down this week all the way from Tennessee to lay tile and hopefully get us started and do some leveling. Isn't that great? So then we do the floors. There's a little bit more lighting left to do once we're done with the floors. Then there will be one Sunday when after Sunday, we have Sunday and Monday to get all of our sound equipment, because the sound team is a contractor, comes in Tuesday and Wednesday. In 2 days, they do the whole sound system, and then we close up the stage, and then the next Sunday we have service there. So it's getting close. So we're going to need your help. We need your prayers. So far, we have received $50,865 from you all, which is amazing. It's going to end up costing around $150,000. So we have secured some loans to bridge the gap, because we don't want to just be waiting, paying two rents just to wait for the rest of the money to come in. As soon as we get in there, you know, things are going to pick up, and we'll be able to, I'm positive, we're going to be able to pay that back very quickly. There is a three-year loan, and if you notice, we jumped up last week from 38 to 50. We had a gift of $12,000 last week or the week before, and the person told me, they said, we've been talking about the overflow, and they said, this is overflow for me, and I'm believing for more, and I've talked to a lot of people, they're saying, I believe I'm going to pay that whole thing off. I'm believing God. And so let's just keep believing, and you be expecting, because if, you know, if 12,000 is just a part of the overflow, then you got really blessed, right? So believe God for what we've been talking about, overflow personally, and we're going to knock this out. But we know we need to move to Gainesville. That's why we're not just waiting. It's urgent spiritually to get in there and start meeting and connecting with people. And we're going to grow really quickly. We've had prophecies on that. I know that in my spirit. We're going to grow quickly there. And so that loan will be no problem, but we don't want to just keep waiting. We're going to keep moving. So keep praying, keep working. Check the Facebook group page for the. We will definitely be having Saturday work day. So if you get Saturdays free, the next couple Saturdays are going to be very important. We can get a lot done. I'm believing they're going to get done with the drywall and the sanding this week, so we can do a lot of painting the end of the week and Saturday and make a lot of progress there. It's exciting, isn't it? Yeah. I love what God's doing. Well, You have sermon notes in your worship guide, but if you need an extra copy, raise your hand. The ushers will be glad to give you an extra copy of these sermon notes. The title of my message is A Link in the Chain. How many of you saw any chains today when you walked in the door, maybe on your way, you see any chains? Okay, hopefully it'll start to make sense to you why there's chains everywhere. I went to a lot of trouble to hang these chains. I'm not nearly as skilled as Gary Reed at doing stuff, but I was able to handle this task and I got these chains. So how many of you have ever heard of a man named Paul Sosa? Paul Sosa. Anybody? Carl? One person? It's not who you think it is. He's not a famous person. He's not a politician. He's not a songwriter. He didn't invent anything. He didn't cure anything. His name is not a household name. He was actually an insurance salesman in Miami in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Is that the same Paul Sosa that you know? How many of you know that Paul Sosa, the insurance salesman? One person knows Paul from Miami. So the significance of Paul, some of you heard this story before. Paul actually is very important to you because he's important to me. He's a link in our chain. Did you know that Christianity is a chain of events, a chain of conversations, a chain of relationships that goes all the way back to the cross? See, this chain in here goes all the way back to Jesus. And when his mission was over and he died and he went to the cross and he rose from the dead and he spent 40 days, on the 40th day after his resurrection, he spent a little time with his disciples and says, I'm leaving and I'm turning it over to you. We're going to read that scripture in a little bit, and it's found in several places in the New Testament. All that work and the crowds and the multitudes, remember the multitudes, and one time he fed 4,000 plus women and children, another time 5,000 plus women and children, and it talks about multitudes. When it all came down, and he told them to wait in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost, the Bible says it was 120. All his ministry came down to 120 people. He left it in the hands of 120 people. And everybody that's saved and knows God on the planet today has to be traced back to those 120 people, because those are the ones that he gave the mission we call the Great Commission. And he said, go into all the world and make disciples. There's 120 people together on the day of Pentecost. Yeah. And you and I are just, we're following this chain that goes all the way back to the cross and those 120 and the day of Pentecost. And you're a link, hopefully a link in somebody else's chain. But that man, Paul Sosa, is a link in my chain. And because of that, he's a link in your chain, because I'm a link in your chain. Victory Church, hopefully, is of benefit to you. That's why you're here. We're here to bless you, to help you, to cause you to grow. So we're a link in your chain, and you're a link in other people's chain. But we're not for a man that none of us would know his name had been not for my testimony. Named Paul Sosa. He was an insurance salesman. Back in those days, and this happened in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, people had an insurance man. He was your personal insurance man. He actually came to your house. A lot of you don't know any of this. It's like foreign. This is like crazy. He would come to your house and sit down with these books, and he handled all your insurance needs. Your car insurance, your boat insurance, your home insurance, your life insurance. What other kind of insurance are they? Health insurance. One guy, he handled it all. Does anybody remember that? Yeah. And he was your insurance man. Our insurance man in our family was Walt Eckert. I knew him very well. We went to his house. I knew his kids. He came to our house. We did stuff. He came visit us up here. He's your friend. He's your insurance man. Well, my Aunt Emily and Uncle Mike, who live right behind us in Miami, their insurance man was Paul Sosa. That was their insurance man. One day, he's in their house. He'd come around once a year, renew your policies, talk about everything, open his books, and what do you need? He was in their house talking about insurance, updating their policies. He closed his book, and he said, well, we're done. I got you taken care of. He says, if you have a couple minutes, I'd like to tell you about something that happened to me. And they said, yeah, tell us. And he said, I got saved. And my Aunt Emily literally said, were you drowning? Because that term was a foreign term to us. We were all raised. I knew Paul Sosa from St. Brendan's Catholic Church and from the Knights of Columbus. He was part of the Italian-American community there in Miami, the Italian Sons and Daughters of America. I would see him around there. And he told them that he got saved. And to us as Catholics, that was a term that we never used, we never heard. And they didn't know what he was talking about. And he said, well, let me. He explained what happened, that someone had shared with him about a relationship with Christ, and he prayed and received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he felt the burden lifted off of him, and he said, and they prayed for me. It was a full gospel businessman's meeting, and they prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking with tongues, and my aunt and uncle said, we want that. And they got down on their knees on 16th Street and 82nd Avenue in Southwest Miami on the hardwood floor, and they prayed and they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues right there in their house, because an insurance salesman went a little bit beyond selling insurance and gave them some real life insurance, changed the course and the destiny of their life. Now, my Uncle Mike, he was very quiet. He never talked a lot about this, but my Aunt Emily, who was born in Italy, she just had that personality. She couldn't contain it. She told everybody. I mean, and Rebecca knows in the later years, we'd go down to visit her. You can't take her anywhere that she's praying in the aisle with somebody. We took her to, what was that store, the Dollar General or something? Dollar Tree. And we're looking for something. We're like, where's Aunt Emily? There she is in the aisle. She's holding somebody's hand. She's praying with somebody. We took her to the beach. You don't go five steps. She's praying with somebody. Where are you? No, never met them before. They're from Ohio. She's praying. She's telling people about Jesus. That was her. She couldn't contain it. So about that time, shortly after that, I moved back to Miami after high school. I went down there and I got a job at the Miami Aquarium. I was living with my grandmother. And then I bought a house and I moved into this house, which was not far. But for 2 years, every week, my Aunt Emily, who I really loved, she was a very loving person, she would invite me to a Bible study at her house on Tuesday nights. Well, Tuesday nights was a big night for me. That's two for one night at Big Daddy's. I can't go on Tuesday. And I can't go any night, really, because who wants to go to a Bible study when I'm living? Man, I was far from God. I was running hard in the things of this world, living a very wild and crazy life. That's why I moved away from home, and I got down there, and I just bought this house. It was a foreclosure, and I bought it, and this was going to be party central. I had big plans. I'm buying and selling drugs. I'm working at the aquarium. I'm working two jobs. Every night, I'm out partying, every night. And she wants me to come to a Bible study in her house. I don't want that. I have no interest in that. I didn't understand when I'd see her things. She'd talk to me about God. I wanted to get away from her because I didn't understand what she was saying. I didn't want any part of it. It wasn't what I was looking for. I was having fun. Finally, I decided to get her off my back. I'd go to that Bible study, and I'll make the long story short. Most of you heard my, but because of that, I left there. I said, I'll never come back to this Bible study. When I walked in my house, Jesus was standing in my house, and we had a brief conversation. He told me he loved me, and I fell on the floor, and I gave my life to Christ, and I've never been the same. And all because an insurance salesman named Paul Sosa took the time to share with them, it changed my Aunt Emily's life. She wouldn't leave me alone, so I went, and that completely changed my life. The trajectory of my life completely changed on that day. I told the Lord, I said, I'll never get drunk again. I'll never do drugs again since that night. I've never done drugs. I've never been drunk since that night. My life completely changed in a new direction. And how many of you ever heard of a famous man named Bob Falco? Have you ever heard of Bob Falco? Because you heard my testimony. You haven't ever heard before my testimony? Emily Mosca. You never heard of her. That's my aunt, Emily Mosca, or Bob Falco. Well, because of that conversion experience, I kept going to that Bible study. Bob Falco was a sergeant with the Metro-Dade Police Department. That's his full-time job. But his full-time passion is leading people to Christ. So that's why he was the one that led Paul Sosa to the Lord at the full gospel meeting. And he was teaching the Bible study at my aunt's house. And he became my mentor. I attached myself to him like glue. I wanted to learn. I went everywhere. So wherever you go, I want to go. I want to be your shadow. I want to be with you. And he would escort dignitaries in Miami, and I would go with him. He would do an auction for the city. He was in charge of stolen goods for the Dade County. I'd go with him, and I'd help him do that. And then once a week, we'd go to the jail, because he'd had a Bible study in the jail. And after a couple weeks, he said, now you take these five guys and go over there. And I was like, what? He put me in charge of a Bible study with inmates in the jail. I'm just barely a brand new Christian. We go out on the Friday and Saturday night. We go down to Coconut Grove, walk down the street by the bars and share the gospel with people. I'd watch him. He'd have me, Bill, you give your testimony. We go down the South Beach in the clubs. Everybody knows about South Beach now, right? Now it's famous. It used to just be South Beach. And then we'd go down there and share with people. And I've shadowed him. And he took me to crusades and to full gospel meetings. And he prayed with me and talked with me. He led me. He's a link in my chain. He's a link in your chain. And later on, I moved back to Gainesville. God told me to go back to the University of Florida. And I got in the campus ministry. And the pastor there was named David Houston. Anybody ever heard of David Houston? A few of you actually know David Houston. He was a pastor here in Gainesville. He changed my life. He took me through deliverance and inner healing and showed me I had baggage from the past and things, hurts and wounds that totally changed my life when he prayed for me and I got free. There's another guy in the campus ministry. His name was John Rohr. He was my buddy. He was my friend. After meetings, we'd go to Lum's. There used to be a restaurant on 13th Street. Anybody remember Lum's? Hot dogs steamed in beer. And they had good hot chocolate. And we'd go after, and we'd talk. And I'd talk to him about, you know, my struggles in life. And he was there for me. How many of you have someone who's there for you, a friend who's there for you? These people are links in my chain. And that this chain goes all the way back to the cross. This is how the gospel is communicated. It's links in a chain. It's people loving one another, sharing, having hot chocolate, having a hot dog steamed in beer, having coffee, going to Starbucks, talking to somebody, helping somebody along their way. Many, many people have helped me along my way in the last 45 years of being a Christian. And they're links in my chain. And I'm helping you, and others in this church are helping you. And these people are a link in your chain. And the chain continues. And this is very important because this is the way the gospel works. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Starting in 18:20, we talked about this, and this is the event I'm talking about, just his last moments. And it said, Jesus came up and spoke to them, the disciples, and he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What instructions is he given to the church? It's the same instructions. Nothing has changed. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's what's happening until he returns. He's building his church. The devil is fighting it tooth and toenail. He's trying to keep people out of church because church is people coming together to do God's business. It's not a building. It's not a sign. It's not a piece of paper. It's people. And Jesus is building and bringing people together, and the devil's trying to keep us fragmented and apart. And you know what happens? I have in this bucket, in order to get some of these links that you have on your chair, I had to cut, and you know what these are? These are broken links. And all of you know people that are broken links. You see, this link is not doing any good in this chain anymore. If you got a broken link, that's where the chain breaks down. And the devil has done his best, and he's worked overtime to make sure that people get broken, people get hurt, people get wounded in church, and that's what they leave, and they're no longer a part of the chain, and the devil works overtime. And you know people in your life. Maybe you've been tempted to give up. You've been broken. You've been hurt, but you're still here. You're still fighting the fight. You're still believing God. You're still in the chain, but you know people in your life that are scattered and broken. They need to get back in because Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, and the devil is prevailing against them because they've been hurt and wounded and they've separated themselves from the call of God. Amen. And they need to get back in that chain. And Jesus said, he said, all authority has been given me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore. You can't take this out of the gospel. This is the gospel. This is his message. It's go, go, go. Two-thirds of God's name is go. This is the message he gave the church. Go. Go, therefore, and do what? Make disciples. We're all concerned about ourselves, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's got to be a balance to that. There's got to be a balance to coming to church to get my needs met. Nothing wrong with that, because who's going to meet your needs but God? But the thing that helps you survive is when you stop only thinking about my needs and answer the Great Commission and go, therefore. If I waited till I was whole and fixed before I preached the gospel, I still wouldn't be preaching. No, in fact, that's how I learned and that's how I grew when I went out on the streets. When I was out on the streets of Miami, I was so messed up. God still used me. Do you know God can use messed up people? Because if he didn't, he couldn't use anybody, because we're all messed up to some degree. We're just getting fixed. We're getting healed. We're all in the hospital, God's hospital, and we're getting better. But don't wait till you're perfect to be used of God, because you'll never get used of God. There was only one perfect, and that was Jesus. The rest of us are messed up, and we're on a journey, and we're getting better. Go, therefore, make disciples of the whole world. Go out there, all the nations, because they had this Jewish Israel concept. It's just us, and God was opening their mind, and you can see that on the day of Pentecost. People from all nations were there. Go to all the gospel is for everybody. Amen. All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them. So that's everybody. It's not my job. We're going to see in a minute. My job is to encourage you to do your job, which is this right here. Baptize people. That's why I say I'm not the only one that can baptize people. I like our new baptismal at the new church. It's really big. We could baptize 3 or 4 people at one time in that thing, man. That's a nice size baptism. We could baptize a horse in that. Not that we're going to baptize horses, but you never know. But you can baptize people. I remember a lady, a friend of mine, her mother, we were at a Jesus festival. I think it was Jesus 79 in Orlando, and this a friend of mine, this girl that went to UF, she said, my mom wants to get baptized. Can you baptize her? And I said, what, me? And I asked somebody, like my pastor, and I said, can I baptize? Yeah, go baptize her. We took her out. It was in a big place. There was a pool, and I took her in and baptized. You can baptize people. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them. You can teach people. You say, yeah, but I'm still learning. Yeah, well, me too. Don't wait till you have it all figured out. Start teaching people what you already know. If you're here today, you know a lot. You've got a lot to give. You've got a lot to share. Teach them to observe all I commanded you. And lo, you're not alone. You're never alone sharing the gospel. You're never alone baptizing or teaching somebody. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And then it was same story here. Now you see this, Mark chapter 16 has the same event. Just we call it the Mount of Ascension, before he ascended, last words. So you see it in Matthew 28, you see it in Mark 16. And then Luke mentions it a little bit at the very end of Luke, but Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Okay, it's the same Luke. And so he really puts it in the beginning of Acts. So he touches on at the end of Luke, and then he picks it up in Acts. So pick it up here in Acts chapter 1. Gathering them together, he, being Jesus, commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for what the Father promised, which he said, you heard from me. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then pick up the story in Acts chapter 2. So that was the 40th day. It was 10 days. And you read the verses in between. Go back. You ought to read Acts 1 and 2. Try to read that maybe today or tomorrow. I don't want to go through every verse. I'll never get done. But it says the 120, they went to the upper room and they began to pray, and they stayed together and prayed for 10 days. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, so that was it, they were all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, which is what Jesus told them. Don't go. You're not ready until you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now jump down to verse 14. Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice. So this became a commotion. They went out in the streets. People stopped. And this Peter's first sermon. He'd never preached a sermon. Right here, Peter raised his voice and said, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. And he preaches this message, and then you pick it up in verse 37. The people respond. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter, because he said, you crucified the Son of God. And they were pierced to their heart. And they went, well, okay, now what do we do? And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? How do we fix this? Is there any hope for us? They were convicted. I said, yeah, we were the ones. We were throwing stones. We were there cheering on his crucifixion. And that was the Son of God. Oh my, what do I do? Thank God. You might have been like me, running from God. It doesn't matter. There's always hope for you. That's what the cross, that's the message of the cross. And he said this very simple. He said, do three things. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, those who had received his word were baptized that day. There were added about 3,000 souls. This is the chain. This is where it started. 120 were obedient, and then all of a sudden they added 3,000. 3,000 souls were saved, and they were added about 3,000. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's how the chain got started. Everybody that's got saved on the planet comes from those 3,120. And then you read the book of the Acts, and they went everywhere. There was a persecution, and you wonder if maybe, you know, what that dispersed them. It was called the diaspora. They were spread. These Jews who had become Christians now went to the Gentiles. You know the story, the book of Acts, and this is how you got here today. Everybody is linked back to Jesus. Jesus told the 120. They can change that to 3,120. It all goes back to Jesus. Today, the reason you're... Somebody shared something with you.
Yeah.
And that's a link in your chain, but somebody shared something with them.
Yeah.
So Bob Falco led Paul Sosa to the... Who led Bob? I don't even know his... How he got... Somebody led Bob to the Lord, and somebody led that person to the Lord. Did you know somebody led Billy Graham to the Lord? He went to a Mordecai Ham... conference or a meeting. He got saved. Who led Mordecai Ham to the Lord? I don't know. It's all a chain. It all goes back. It goes back. It goes back. You're a link in someone's chain. That's why I put a link on most of the chairs. There should be a link next to you. If there's not, guess where it is? Stand up and look around. Somebody behind you say, hey, there it is. There's that link. I put those on there for a reason. If you will, take that link with you, put it in your pocket, put it in your purse, and whenever you see that, remember you're a link in someone's chain. This chain starts at the cross. It goes down into the congregation. It's back there over by the sound booth. It drops right down by Adam's head. It goes down into the lobby, and it's out in the parking lot out front, because that's how far the chain goes. When you leave here, you're taking the chain with you. You're a link in the chain. You're taking the gospel with you. Keep that link with you, if you would, as a reminder, people that you come across their path. See, Paul Sosa, he could have said, I'm just an insurance salesman. I got no business talking to you about personal stuff. I'm only supposed to come here and I'm just going to take my book and go home. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he took a little bit of time and shared the gospel with my aunt and uncle. They're glad because they're in heaven right now. I'm glad because it changed my life. I probably wouldn't even be alive anymore. And I've been able to see hundreds and hundreds of people pray to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior because one man saw himself as a link in a chain and closed his insurance book and said, let me tell you, and open my heart and share something. And you, in your life, your life is not limited to your job, to your schooling, to what you do day to day. There are people around you that need what's on the inside of you. You are more qualified than you think you are. The devil says, don't open your mouth, you're not qualified. You don't have to have a degree. You just have to have Jesus in your heart. Lord, I'm with you always. He's the one that tells you what to say. He'll put the words in your mouth. Yeah. We're all linked. You're a link to someone. You're a link to someone yet to come. This week, God will link you with people that haven't heard the gospel yet. You're the only gospel they may ever hear. Now, you've seen this quote that I've put before. I usually use it on 4th of July. One of the founders, John Quincy Adams, who was the 6th president of the United States, really an amazing man. This little part of the speech that he gave to America on the 4th of July, 1837, it says this. It says, why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated feast returns this day, 4th of July? Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior? That it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation. See, even nations are ordained by God to accomplish things for his purpose. And here's a president who's being led, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to recognize, and he makes a very wise observation. He says, in the chain of human events. That's what it is. The chain. Your life is part of a chain of human events. The people that you come in contact with, it's not random. It's part of a chain of human events that God has ordained. That person that gets on your last nerve, that person that bugs you at work, that person that gets in your way, that aggravates you, they're part of the chain of human events that God has put you in that life specifically to be the link in their chain, and they can be a link in somebody else's chain. This is a very wise statement. Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of the nation is linked indissolubly with the birthday of the Savior? And I would say to you that your life, your happenings, your circumstances, your job, where you play, where you get gas, where you shop, is linked. It's a link in the chain of the progress of the gospel dispensation. You're a link in someone's chain. This is my Father glorified. Jesus said that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciple. Josh McDowell said this: if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? See, is our Christianity all about what I can get from God or what I can give back to God? How I can advance the progress, how I can be a link in somebody. If you were on trial for being a Christian, could they even prove it? Or is it so personal and so, you know, shut up inside you, nobody even knows? Now, that is the essence of Christianity, is a personal relationship with God, but that's not the finality of Christianity. That's the beginning of it. That's the foundation of it. The proof of discipleship is that we're helping others. Yeah. The core of Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus. That's first and foremost. You can't change. Absolutely. And too many people don't have a personal relationship, and they're out doing stuff, and it becomes rote religion, and it's only leads to that it doesn't help people. You have to have a personal relationship. But personal relationship is not 100% of Christianity. Because that's what they asked Jesus. They said, give us one commandment. And he said, the great commandment is love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That is number one. That is number one. All right? But he didn't stop there because he knew we would have a tendency to only get caught up in ourselves. And only with our relationship with God. It has to start there, but he said, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. If you love yourself, the best thing you can do for yourself is love God. If you love people, the best thing you can do for them is help them to know God. Know God. It's very simple. You say, well, I don't know that much. Do they know God? That's all you need to know. Do they know God? Could they know God better? Is there anything I can do to help them, encourage them to know God? That's all. That's simple. That's what it is. So the main thing, yes, the main, and it all starts from having a relationship with God. And when you have a relationship with God, you have a care for other people. And the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I think about that all the time. I like to remember that. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. You don't want to have religion without God. You don't want to have a religion that's about God, but without God. You start every day with God, having a relationship with God, with his word, in prayer, fellowshipping with him. The main thing is to keep the main thing, and the main thing is to have your relationship, a personal relationship with God. Life's highest calling is unbroken fellowship with God. It is. That's the best thing you can get out of life. You say, well, if I just had this and I had that, well, then that's a God. Nothing substitutes for my relationship with God. Life's highest calling is unbroken fellowship with God. Being able to walk with him and talk with him through the challenges of this life. Never put anything above your relationship with God. But it's one thing to be a Christian and have a relationship with God. It's another thing to be a disciple. A true disciple, and this is in your fill in the blanks, if you like to write fill in the blanks. A true disciple does two things then. Number one, he loves God. And number two, loves people. Can't stop with number one. And what does it mean to love people? You care about people's eternal destiny. That's the most important thing. Everybody's going to die. We might not all live the same age. We might not have the same life challenges. But everybody's going to die and face a certainty of two destinations, heaven or hell. Where do we stand? Where do your friends? The proof of discipleship is that we're helping others to know God. That's what a true disciple is, helping other people. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, if I challenge you today, how am I helping others to know God? How am I helping others? And you might say, well, I serve in the nursery. And I would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. I believe that's what God would say. You say, well, this is my capacity. This is what I can do. This is what I can give. I can work in the nursery. Well done. Because we have to have people working in the nursery. You might say, well, what I do is I work on the soundboard. And I think God would say, well done. That's you're taking your time, your talent, and your treasure, and you're investing it in what God's doing, which is building his church, which is doing what is helping people to know God. You might say, well, I pray. You know, I don't do this or that, but I pray for people. I pray for my coworkers. And I believe God would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. You might say, well, I just look for opportunities every day to influence people to know God. I think God would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. You see, evangelism can take on many forms. It might be going out on campus with Michael, and people have been going out with him, and he's been telling me praise reports and stories, and it's awesome. And I used to go out on campus. I've preached on campus hundreds and hundreds of times, and I love being on campus and sharing the gospel. That's only one form of evangelism. Playing golf can be in a form of evangelism. It can. Having dinner can become a form of evangelism. You can turn almost anything into a form of evangelism. Leading a small group is a form of evangelism, isn't it? It's using your gifts. It's being part of the church, makes the church function. That's what Jesus is doing. Inviting people over to your house to watch a game. That can be a form of evangelism. It could be very subtle. It could be very low-key. It takes different forms. Going fishing, come on, somebody. That can be a form of evangelism. Going shopping, now that's one I can't really relate to, going shopping, but you could. How many think going shopping is a good option for you? See, there's a lot of people. Me, I'm not that much of a shopper. In fact, I like to take this scripture right here and change it a little bit. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I'll take the M from the thee and put it with the all, and I say the Lord delivers him out of the mall, and I claim that scripture. I don't have to go to the mall to do my evangelism or to do any shopping. I don't like it. Drinking coffee can be a form of evangelism. Working with somebody, working your job, can be a form of evangelism. Family gatherings, instead of something you dread, can be a form of evangelism. Social media, believe it or not, yeah, is not just for training everybody in your line of thinking politically, or, you know, it can be actually be a form of evangelism. And the opportunities are endless. Our potential church is all of our spheres of influence put together. If we all sat and said, what's your sphere of influence? You come in contact with about 30 or 40 people in the course of a week. And all those, that's how many people we can contact, communicate with, share the good news of the gospel. And I talked to you earlier about equipping the saints, that was our mission. I want to just look at this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 and talk about what we call in theology the five-fold ministry. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, the five-fold ministry. Okay, you're going to see it lined out in here. And we call this, these are the five categories of types of what we call full-time, or the five-fold ministries. There's five of them. You see it right here. He gave some, he's talking about the ministry gifts, if you go back and read this. Some as apostles, so that's one type, is apostolic ministry, which is starting stuff, initiating, or overseeing. Prophets, this is the second type of ministry. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's a five-fold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, what a lot of us like to do is say, okay, they're the ones that got to do it. They're the ones that preach the gospel. They're the ones that advance the kingdom. But that's not what the Bible says. Watch this. He gave apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. What's a saint? Saint is a born-again believer. It's very simple. It's not someone who's canonized by an official body. A saint, according to Scripture, is a believer. You're either a saint or an ain't. You either receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior or you haven't. So a believer is a saint. And what does it say the fivefold ministry does? Equips the saints. And what does the saints do? For the work of service. The saints do the work of service. Saints do the work of the ministry. To the building up of the body of Christ. What builds up the body of Christ? The saints. Who builds up the saints? The fivefold ministry. Until we attain to the unity of faith. And of what? The knowledge of the Son of God. That's how simple communicating the gospel is. Do you know God? That's all. You don't have, where do you go to church? What do you believe? How are you raised? Do you know God? Would you like to know God better? Do you communicate with God, the one who created you, put you on this planet? Do you ever talk to him? Do you have a relationship with you, with him? Can I help you with that? I was in the same boat you were. I didn't know God. Now I'm getting to know him. I don't know him perfectly. Let me help you with that. To the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Each one has his part to do. Find your part. It's part of the body of Christ. When we go out, we're still the body of Christ. When we come, we need this. We need the church. We need small groups. We need discovery. It's like next Sunday, so you can discover how you're uniquely made. We need dream team. Dream teams is what makes church happen, right? And I'll just give a shout out to one of our awesome dream teams, which is the sound team. They are so awesome. I can't tell you how great a job they do. And I'd like to say this about the soundboard, because I used to run soundboard at another church, and it is a thankless job, because if you do your job perfectly, nobody says a thing. And that's your whole goal, is nobody says anything. But if anything happens, and most of what happens is beyond your control, everybody turns and looks at you. Everybody turn and look at them. See, it's giving them relief because we're not mad at them. But a lot, that's what happens a lot of times. Something, you got to squeak, you got to, you can't hear this. And sound systems are very finicky. They do strange things. I mean, you got everything set up. We got it all perfect. And Sunday morning, I think it was a couple, you all didn't even know this. A couple weeks ago, something went crazy with the sound system, and we didn't even have sound like a half hour before the service. And they had to rewire and do a bunch of stuff. Boom, we got sound. But we have an incredible sound team. Michael Crames kind of heads up that whole area. Richard Roberts is so faithful. He's back there. He's back there almost every week. Robert Farrell helps out. He's not here today. And Dakota Johnson. And that's our sound team. Would you give our sound team a shout out? Thank them. They do an awesome job. There's a link on your chair that I told you about. And I'd like you to take that with you and think about that. And as you take this link, I'd like you to think about two things. Be grateful. Who was the link that brought you to where you're at today with God? Be grateful for somebody that was a link in your chain. And think for a moment about how far this chain goes back. I mean, this is just amazing. Somebody influenced you to move in a God-honoring direction, to honor God with your life. And somebody influenced that person, and somebody influenced that person, and somebody influenced that person. So to me, the link means two things. That's why I want you to take it home. Being thankful for the link that linked you in, and who's your next link? Who are you a link to? Two things. Being thankful for the link that came to you, and thinking about who you are a link to next. And we're all connecting, we're connecting. This chain goes all the way back to the cross, all the way back to Jesus. He gave up heaven to come to earth, to lead us into a relationship with God, to fix the problem that we had, that we were broken and then we were separated. One sin separates us. There is no sin in heaven, so we couldn't get to heaven. We had a problem. Jesus fixed that problem. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. This chain goes all the way back to the cross, all the way to forgiveness. Now, I'd like you to think about opportunities in the coming week that you can be a link. Who can I link to connect them to Christ, to connect them to his body? Ultimately, they need to get in community because that's how God works. Church is a family. Anybody get anything out of this today? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we're just right now, we want to thank you for the link that went before us. The link that brought us to Christ. The person who didn't give up. I'm thankful that my Aunt Emily didn't give up asking me week after week after week after week after month. She didn't give up. And I finally gave in and you changed my life. And we're thankful for the people that never gave up on us. Thankful for the people that believe in us right now. And now we ask you, Lord, help me to be a link in somebody else's chain. Help me to be that encouragement. Help me to be that persistent person that doesn't give up on that person that's in your heart. Lord, I ask you to put someone in every one of our hearts right now that we can influence in the next few weeks. And maybe it'll take months, maybe it'll take years, but we're not going to give up. Just put someone in our heart that I can be the link to them, to connect them to the chain that goes back to the cross. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got an important question for you. That is this: if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here, you say, I don't know. I think so, hope so, not sure. That's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. You say, yeah, but does anybody know? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. You have to be born again. That means there comes a time in your life, by an act of your free will, you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. He forgives your sins. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that. That's why you're here today. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be with God. And I want to get back on track with God. And I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up. But if either one of those two apply to you and today you want to make a fresh start, I want to pray for you. Just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Anybody else? You want me to pray for you? You want to make a fresh start? You want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven? Or you want to get back on track? Anybody else? I want to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business.